I'm looking for my spiritual companions from the 11th grade. Where are they? Leaving me up here alone to die. Where are they? 11th graders? Justice, Elaine? Come. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. One can chase 1,000 and two, 10,000. Amen. We're going to chase Satan all the way to the lake of fire. Amen. Looks like we're going to chase 40,000. Amen. You know, this training was very profound and deep for me personally. This matter of the prophecies or visions in Ezekiel. Actually, I also did some reading as I was preparing. And I remember from last year, I think it was Ezekiel 1, we looked at a portion of Ezekiel. The vision of... It was the wheel, the great wheel, right? What else? We had the four living creatures. Ezekiel is full of these visions of things that are hard to explain, right? And now we come to another portion which is full of things that are hard to explain. Actually, I read that some people found that the things in Ezekiel are very difficult to understand. They describe them as being, let me see if I could find it. Well, it's not here. Anyway, the visions are very difficult to understand and explain. But, praise the Lord Jesus, we have the ministry of the age and the minister of the age to open these things up to us. For, you know, God speaking in the training is very specific. It's advancing. It's progressive, it's for the church at a particular point in time, and it's for each of us individually at a particular point in time. But I found that during this training, there, especially the video training, there were very few of us actually here. So, God wants to progress, God wants to advance, but where are His children? Ezekiel characterizes God's children as being in a dry bones or very dry bones condition, right? Even in graves, he says. This is our condition. This is my condition. So this touched me very deeply. How do we rise up from these dry bones and dead condition and situations? Well, God needs to breathe upon these dry bones. He needs to breathe the Spirit into these dry bones. And the way that that is accomplished, we all know, we need to spend time in the Lord's presence, pray reading His Word, being infused by His Word, and speaking forth this Word. Now in Ezekiel's time, Ezekiel was the prophet chosen by God to speak the words of Spirit and life to God's people who were enslaved in Babylon, who were in captivity, in a dry bone situation. They needed to be recovered. And today, the church, in a similar situation, needs to be recovered. Recovered back to the way of life. And God needs prophets to speak this word to His people, to speak this word to His children. In Ezekiel's time, Ezekiel was that one. In our time, not I or the six brothers, but we are those that should be speaking this word to God's people. Right? God has an intention. He has a heart's desire to have a building, to have a habitation, a built-up house, right? This is His intention. This is His desire. But our condition does not match what He wants, or He would be here. So now He's calling on all of us, dear saints, to be infused, filled by Him, and speak this word to His children and to His people. That we would rise up from our dead situations. We would rise up and speak this word that others could be recovered, enlivened, and be for God's eternal purpose.
Well, Saints, the training was quite marvelous, and I really appreciated our brother's summary word. I enjoyed two things for the building up of the house, one on the negative side and one on the positive side. On the negative side, I enjoyed the word termination. And on the positive side, I enjoyed the word enjoyment. I would even say extensive enjoyment. You know, in the outline, there was this sentence that said, the world's way is to negotiate, but God's way is to terminate. The world and even the church life is full of problems. And God's way to deal with that is not through our negotiating, but it is through the terminating work of the cross. And I was reminded of a message that Brother Lee gave, and he addressed the elders in that message, and he said, brothers, I know how it is when you meet. He said, you pray for about 10 minutes, and then you go through your agenda for 2 hours. And, you know, I contemplated that years and years ago, but this training helped me to get a little bit more light. You know, when we pray, when we stop and pray, that is where the practical termination comes in, because we touch the spirit in which death is flowing. Amen. And, of course, when we don't, then all the old men are still subjectively active. You know what I mean? And this doesn't just go for the elders' meetings. This goes for all of our service. Saints, we need termination. I mean, look at the world situation. That is just terrible. What do we need there? Termination. I don't mean the H-bomb, but the Lord will have a way, ultimately, to terminate. Praise the Lord! And the other I enjoyed was on the positive side, and that is extensive enjoyment. The brothers didn't cover message 11, but oh, I felt that was so timely for the recovery, about Christ as the land, and out of the land, the enjoyment of the land, I would even say the extensive enjoyment of the land, the city and the temple will come forth. In Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2, the footnote on the church in Ephesus, where John is talking about the overcomers, actually the Lord. And in the note on verse 7, Brother Lee says, the primary matter in the church life is the enjoyment of Christ. Amen. Saints, we are in him. Amen. That means we're in the land. And what a land this is. You know, rather than just sample the Lord through the day, may the Lord expand our enjoyment. Amen. You know, I feel until that time, you know, the temple and the city will not be built up. But as we are enlarged in our enjoyment, you know, the church life is a life. Church life means life, 24/7. And the primary matter in that church life is the enjoyment of Christ. Amen. Lord, give us the healthy appetite. Amen. Lord, help us redeem the time. Amen. So in these days, we're enjoying you extensively. Amen. For the building up of the house and the city. Amen.
I just enjoyed how the definition of blessing. Oftentimes we pray, bless this meeting or bless this person, mm-hmm. but oftentimes we use this, the word blessing as a favor or a gift or as an approval, as a definition. But this is an incomplete definition. This eternal blessing is a triune God dispensing himself in his divine trinity into us for our enjoyment. In Genesis 1:28, God created us with his image and dominion so we can have his blessing in view of his building. we are the only vessel qualified to have His blessing. So we just need to have His dispensing and to be filled with Him every single day.
Amen. Do you want to share?
That's fine.
Okay. Amen. Lord Jesus, amen. The cross of Christ silenced the entire universe and simplified the complicated situation in the universe.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but every time I hear the word the cross or a word on the cross, my first reaction is exactly the opposite of what Frank said. The cross is there not to make you suffer, but to terminate you. Amen. And then within I go, oh yeah, that's easy for you to say. I know what the cross is all about. We're talking suffering now. Subconsciously, we have that, you know what I mean? In our flesh and in our soul. And, you know, then the Lord just experientially reminded me, you know, actually when you're not experiencing the cross, that's when you're suffering the most. Everyone in the world suffers. Everyone goes through bad things. Everyone has bad days. Everyone suffers loss. Most people get depressed at some point in their life. And sometimes people think of doing bad things to themselves and do bad things to themselves because they're suffering. And no one likes to be in that condition. But praise the Lord, we have the cross. And we can ask the Lord, Lord, I don't like the way I'm feeling. I don't want to feel like this. And we can ask the Lord, I want to experience the cross, to cross out all these negative feelings in me, all these negative whatever I'm going through. And then the cross becomes a joyful thing. He went through all the suffering for us. And all these experiences are in the Spirit. So that's why once we touch the Spirit, we feel happy again. And we're not all consumed with what was bothering us. And we're not suffering anymore because we've been crossed out. So I feel like I need a revolutionized vision of what the cross is. You know what I mean? And sometimes you don't even need to analyze so much. Just get to your spirit. Everything in you need is in your spirit, amen. You know? And he said that the cross leads you to the body of Christ. I'm like, huh? How does that happen, you know? But the truth is, when you're enjoying the Lord, you want to come to the meetings, right? You want to get together with the saints. Your natural feeling's been crossed out. You don't feel depressed anymore. You don't feel down anymore. You don't feel out of it anymore. So you start looking for the saints. Praise the Lord. It leads you to the body. And I realize also, don't analyze. If you feel down, you feel out of it, this whole section starts with dead bones, okay? Dead bones in a valley. Just come with the other dead bones. Stick together, someone will speak, and you'll get life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God's eternal purpose is to have a building as a mingling of Himself with His chosen people.
Amen.
Whatever God does among His people is for His building.
Amen.
If what we do and what we see do not make God's building, it amounts to nothing.
Amen.
You know, now that summer comes around, I have a lot of free time. And most of that free time does not go to the Lord. So what I need to focus on and what we need to focus on is the building.
Amen.
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 I really enjoyed message 9, which is about ministering to the Lord as the hidden manna, the budding rod, and the law of life. And I really enjoyed ministering to Him through the hidden manna. So when the Lord fed the 5,000, He did not stay in that glory, but He went privately up to the mountain to pray. And in our service, when we have a success, when we do something that is for the Lord and is good, it is easy to stay in that glory, to feel that you have done something good and to enjoy the praise of men. But actually, the Lord went aside privately to the mountain to pray to God. And He enjoyed the hidden manna and was ministering to the Lord. And that was His real ministering to the Lord. Actually, the way to minister to the Lord is to pray. And that's so practical. We can just pray to the Lord and we're ministering to the Lord. And to love Him is the indispensable requirement. All of our service, everything that we do is out of our love for Him. Amen.
Amen. I really enjoy the humanity of Jesus for God's building. In the book of Ezekiel, the word Son of Man was mentioned 90 times. And in Ezekiel 41:16, it talks about being wood all around. Man was created to reign, to rule, to administrate in oneness with God. And that's why Satan attacks the humanity of man so much, because it's critical for God's building. And what the kind of humanity that the Lord needs is one that is perfect, upright, noble, kingly, up to God's standard, which is everything that we're not. He needs the humanity of Jesus, you know, the humanity that's wonderful, splendid, extraordinary, wonderful, one that is crucified, resurrected, uplifted, and ascended. The humanity of Jesus is man outwardly, but deity inwardly. And according to Philippians 2:6-8, you can see that this humanity, he was obedient even unto death, that the death of a cross. So this is something that we are not, but something that we can have. I used to think that the more spiritual you are, you're more like angelic. You know, you hold your Bible to your chest, you walk slowly, you look up to the heavenlies, then you talk slowly. You know, that's what I thought being spiritual was, you know, having a lot of knowledge and looking spiritual. But actually, the more God we become, the more human we become, the more man-like we are. And this is not the fallen man, but it's the taking Christ as our life. It is the humanity of Jesus. It is in lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering. And this has the palm trees, the victory of Christ, the cherubim, the glory of God. And this is carved into our being through our suffering. And this, we can have the humanity of Jesus by eating him daily as a meal offering, eating him, chewing him, savoring him, digesting him, assimilating him. And this humanity is very active in us. It is not inactive. It actually leads us every day on what we should say, how we should act, how we should behave. It's not something that you can teach or generate in a person, but we have to eat Jesus. And this inward operation of the Spirit of Jesus within us needs our cooperation. So may we cooperate with the Lord to build up the church, build up the body of Christ by just eating and enjoying the humanity of Jesus. Amen.
The cross is the center of the universe. How many times have we thought of the cross as the center of the universe? Most times we think of Christ as the center of the universe, which is true, but the cross is also that. Christ is the center of God's purpose, and the cross is the center of God's procedures. We need to consider the cross as our center, because without the cross, there will be no Christ. Colossians 1:20, and do him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. The cross, before the time was past, the cross was part of God's eternal plan, and the cross was the whole purpose of the cross was to terminate everything of the old creation. When the new creation came, the old creation was terminated. The cross does not produce us as a spiritual individual, but to build up to building of God's dwelling place. Amen. We are not individual Christians, but members of one organic body to build up. And we must apply the cross as the center of the universe. We have to apply the cross to our daily life. To apply the cross, we need to see the facts of the cross. We need to accept the facts of the cross. And then we also have to have a joyful heart, exercise with the Spirit, stand by standing on the Word, and staying connected in the body.
Amen.
Thank you for the shorties. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. Coming home from the training on the plane, I was going to rest, and I was going to go through the outline from message 1 to message 12, perhaps. I don't know if I could do that. But anyway, there was a lady sitting next to me, and the Lord kind of put within me, now or never, you have to speak to this lady. And I went through message 1, prophesying it to speak for the Lord and to speak for the Lord to minister this one that fills me into others. for others to have life. And then, message two said, the motive, the basic element for our function in prophesying is to love the Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, so at that time I was singing to myself very, very softly, Lord, I just love you, for I have no one loved you like you. In the whole universe, I have no other one like you. Lord Jesus, I love you. I was just singing this song to the Lord. Repeatedly, very slow, very, very low, very, very softly. And said, Lord, I love you. If we love the Lord, we will be filled with him. Whatever fills us within will come out of us. Amen. The overflow comes from the infilling. Amen. I just felt the Lord is filling me. When we love the Lord to the uttermost, we must speak. We must release the one who fills us within. So I started just to give that lady a tract. Is Jesus in your boat? So I asked her, do you know Jesus? Do you read the Bible? And then we just started a conversation. And I just shared with her from Genesis 1:26 all the way. And she almost was in tears. And she said that was what she needed. And she said, I go home. I said, you would like to pray with me now to receive the Lord? And she said, I go home tonight. I will read this pamphlet and I will read that prayer at the end. I felt the Lord wants us to enjoy him, but the enjoyment comes from our obeying him and our cooperating with him. We can enjoy the Lord like a lamb. I cannot eat the Lord or maybe drink the Lord every moment, but every second I'm on the land. I have to stand somewhere. I'm not in the air floating. And Christ is my good land. And we stand on him 24/7. We can enjoy him. I can enjoy him in washing the dishes, in cooking, in cutting vegetables, in cleaning. I came home Wednesday, my freezer was ajar, and so there was a big, big, big block of ice. The whole freezer became a big block of ice. And I don't want to tell you what I had to go through, but I enjoy the Lord. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the Lord in all that thing that I have to deal with that freezer. But praise the Lord, the ministry is just to make us the enjoyer of the Lord. Not just in the morning time when we spend with him, but whole day long. In everything that we go through, points to our enjoyment of this one. This one is resurrection. This one is life. This one is everything that we need. He is Jehovah, I am. Whatever he is, we is for us to enjoy. But we need to be, I am not. Because those who come forward to God must believe that he is. Amen. When he is, I am not. And when you realize that you are not, he is, you can enjoy him even more. Amen. For the building up of his body.
Amen. I really enjoyed message 9, ministering to the Lord. Oh. Amen. Ministering to the Lord to enjoy him as a hidden manna, the budding rod, and the law of life. The first part of the title, ministering to the Lord, during the week I realized before this message I was enjoying the Lord and I was he was ministering to me, but I really wasn't ministering to the Lord. And I realized that, why was this happening? And it was on the fourth day of the training, of the life training, that I realized that I wasn't ministering to the Lord. And it was because my prayer times during the day, like because the schedule changed, it was no longer there. And I realized this the fourth day in. And I was just like, this message was really timely because it made me realize that we cannot minister to the Lord without drawing near to him. And that week, I didn't draw near to him an adequate amount of time. So I was really encouraged by this message that we can draw near to him, and it's just by praying to him, praying more, drawing near to him, standing before him, and waiting for his will. And this also stems out from our love to the Lord. If we love the Lord, we want to spend time with him. We want to pray to him. And I realized that it's a battle in our daily life. Even in the life training, there's like, we have like a block of time to spend, but like block of time to rest, but how much time is that for the Lord? And I was just really encouraged, I guess, exposed and also encouraged, because the Lord is sweet, that we can just draw near to him at any time and minister to the Lord by just praying to him. Amen.
The Lord and his word is so rich. Amen. Do you feel full? Today was just the appetizer. So we will review the training for 12 weeks later. So don't worry, we'll get into all of these messages. But this week we will start our review of the Memorial Day Conference, Knowing Life and the Church. So be sure to pick up your Morning Revival sheet or the Morning Revival book as you leave. And we'll dismiss the meeting now.